Hey everyone, this is Jay, and welcome to another episode of Questionable Depth. Today's primary focus is going to be on public crowdsourcing for powerlifters. Sites like GoFundMe, Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and the like. Was seeing a post shared in people's stories that wasn't able to really get to who the originator of the post was, but had feelings about people who were utilizing those methods for events like Nationals and Worlds. And I just wanted to talk on that a little bit. Also, got a few things that were news and noteworthy in powerlifting this week that I wanted to go over. But first was wanting to do a few updates closer to home. It has been about 4 months since the last episode posted, and in that time, spent about a month and a half fighting off sickness from the weather going from, 15 degrees and snowing to 70 degrees the next day for a while. Spent an entire week in bed and out of work, and yeah, that was fun. Beginning of January, got back on the road doing USPA meets judging. My plan last year was to get all 16 meets under my belt by January of this year so I could aim to submit for the expedited judges program and look to become a national judge, but still 4 meets off. So at the current pace, looking to take my national exam probably at the end of spring. Also, got the new website up and going. There are still a bunch of pages that aren't visible yet, but they will be as they're getting finished. And you can also go from the homepage at platformready.com to the USPA East homepage. So if you're looking for information on records, the meet calendar, intense attire, etc., that's all available right there on the landing page at platformready.com. Spoke with one of the strength and conditioning coaches for one of the local universities just outside of Knoxville, and some pretty fun stuff coming down the pipe with him, and hopefully getting back into working with some sports teams this coming summer, probably at the earliest. And I'll be doing a meet in Oak Ridge May 18th. Still haven't decided which weight class I'm going to be. I'm a very, very, very light 275 at the moment, walking around at about 255, 260. And having been sick earlier in the year, training was almost non-existent. I'd go for like a day or two and then get sick again. And I strung together a few good workouts. And about 4 or 5 weeks ago, ended up squatting 565, ended up benching 405. And then the other night was the first real deadlift session I had, where I was pulling 500 off about a 2-inch deficit. It was a bumper plate. So I'm thinking about doing the meet in Oak Ridge with a number of other lifters I coach, and might do that one singlet only. Haven't decided yet. But it would be fun to just get back on the platform since it's been over a year now, and knock some rust off. And then at the end of the year, look to do a meet in the 110s and start looking towards 2020 nationals with a number of lifters that I have also planning on going to do that. So off the top here, if you hear snoring or a snort in the background, that's just Basil behind me asleep on the bed. Recording this about 12:30 at night, and we had a long afternoon at the dog park. So she's comatose and sleeping very comfortable in my spot on the bed. So the topic that we're talking about comes up from a post that I was seeing on a handful of Instagram stories that I follow. And the general gist of it was that powerlifting is a hobby and it's not that serious. And people using things like GoFundMe shouldn't. And, you know, if you can't pay, don't play type thing. And I apologize. I messaged a few of the people. They had reposted this from reposts and weren't sure who the original poster of this was. So I don't have the credit to give. There's a few things in this that I can agree with, but there's a few things in this that I think should be in context. I do agree with the general tone. Powerlifting is a hobby, especially for about 99.9% of all of those of us involved in it. There's a very small number of lifters, coaches, event coordinators that solely make a living off of a barbell. I do think it's hypocritical that more times than not, the same people that would criticize this as being a hobby are usually the same person who's talking out of the other side of their mouth about how hardcore they are or that, you know, what kind of sacrifices they had to make for the sport. It's like you're kind of on both sides of the fence there. So, and that's not always the case. There are some people who purely realize that it's a hobby and they have a smile on their face about it and they don't take themselves too serious. If you are the one of those people who like to talk out of both sides of your mouth, I suggest you try it. It's very nice and relaxing. And you can usually be happy for when people besides you do well. That being said, to be brutally honest about a few things here, the current fragmentation of the sport where we have all these different federations and having a handful of different meets in the same area, you're going to get a lot of these lifters who are new, either first time or have a low qualifying total, like a class 2, class 1, showing up for the bigger meets that are more or less there to fill out a roster and allow a meet director to cover expenses. And that's just kind of the nature of the game. It's a double-edged sword in that we have these people who want to take part, get the experience, and I'm not knocking that in any way, but you do have to be kind of self-aware as a lifter that, you know, you're coming from, let's say, Maine, and there's a meet in Las Vegas, like Nationals, or, you know, when we had Worlds there, or the North Americans. What kind of financial burden are you placing on yourself or maybe those around you to go to Vegas or somewhere a little bit more expensive to get to? Because Vegas is a travel hub, so flying in and out's priced accordingly to some place that gets a lot of air traffic in. If you're going to show up and you're going to place top 3, it'd be highly competitive and set some all-time world records or set some federation world records, things like that, at a high level, then that's kind of the hardcore point. Like, you're doing whatever it takes to get to that meet that you can do these things, because the backyard meets you can't set world records at, right? You can break world records unofficially, but you gotta be at specific meets for the big ones. So if you're in that ballpark in that category, like, I understand that. But if you're going and you're gonna place 15th and you had to take out a mortgage and your kids are at home, things like that, you should probably be reevaluating your priorities at that point. That all being said, I did do a little bit of a deep dive across the platforms that handle crowdsourcing. Kickstarter mostly was about company startups. Indiegogo didn't have anything, and there was a few other ones like Patreon, stuff like that, that didn't have anything. GoFundMe specifically has 589 results when you type in powerlifting. Some of these are just outdated that they haven't taken down. Some of the oldest ones I scrolled through are 4 or 5 years old. And so it's nothing that it's as current to this discussion, but it has been going on for a while. In comparison, when you do searches for like personal training, bodybuilding, CrossFit, CrossFit was like 1,400 results. Personal training was over 7,000 results. Bodybuilding surprisingly was a little bit less than powerlifting, but things like GoFundMe is something that has been around in bodybuilding circles. It's not uncommon that you've heard stories of guys sleeping on other people's couches and, you know, pretty much nickel and diming their way to chicken and rice and their gym membership for the month. But there's also more money in those high level competitions for bodybuilding than there is powerlifting. And I think part of that comes back to the fragmentation piece. If we can start getting things a little bit more unified, we have a bigger pool of resources to pull from. So anyways, back to the GoFundMe, 589 results. When you start looking at these at a little bit closer glance, it's not just, hey guys, I started powerlifting earlier this year, and I qualified for this meet in another country, and I need money. That probably makes up about half of it. The other half is actually some things that I think people who are wanting to support causes, like there's a handful that I came across, and I didn't go through all these, but there's a handful that I came across that are specifically talking about Special Olympic lifters and helping support them. Like, where was it? I had it here in front of me, but like, I think it was last year, the year before, you had the Special Olympics in LA. People trying to get to LA for that, you know, not a lot of people who are competing in the Special Olympics are going to be financially independent and have those kind of means. And that's where a lot of things like, that's why we have like fundraisers and private organizations that do donations to things like the Special Olympics to help that. You also have a number of high schools and middle school teams that are looking either to upgrade their weight room. Some of the pictures on here look like they're like weight room straight out of like the 1970s. And some of like the old school pictures you see from Arnold's Encyclopedia. Every kid that goes into these weight rooms, I hope, has their tetanus shot up to date. And then there's also people on here that run high school, middle school teams looking for new equipment. A lot of these schools don't compete raw. They compete in single ply and multi ply. And then you got other ones that are setting up volunteer travel expenses. You have event coordinators looking to raise money to compensate spotters, loaders, get event halls. A couple of those in Germany that were like that. But to the main point of people who was essentially getting complained about, how many of these nationals, in countries like Ireland and Great Britain, because there's quite a few of those on here, that are going to qualify to go to like a world's meet from Ireland to Tokyo? You got the invite from your federation. That's awesome. And I'm not for sure if it's the same for this year, but I know in 2018, the USPA team had offsetting compensation from the federation if you were invited to be a part of the national team. I think it was like the top six men, top six women. Things like room and board and entry fees and tickets to fly are not cheap at all. I know for me to go from East Tennessee to Drug Tested Worlds in Ireland was almost $2,000. And you know, for all intents and purposes, I don't plan on going to Ireland this year. And, you know, even domestically, the 2018 IPL Worlds was in Las Vegas. And I sent one of the lifters that I coached at the time to Worlds. And out of pocket, that was about $1,000. She wouldn't have been able to go otherwise. College kid, broke, shocker. But it's one of those things that I'm in a financial spot that I can do that, whether it be a GoFundMe source or a coach slash sponsor, things like that. Like there are a number of ways that you can help somebody. And a lot of those posts on the crowd, on like GoFundMe that I did click through a handful of them, are people who are friends and family posting money and support, usually from like their Facebook or Twitter or something like that. And I think that's the point of the platform. Sure, you see people that they might reach out to on a broader scale, but how is that any different from somebody sitting outside Walmart selling off, you know, super heavyweight inducing cookies? It's not. Like, you don't have to buy Girl Scout cookies. You don't have to give your money on GoFundMe to a powerlifter who's, from what I can see, 8 out of the 10 times that I clicked a profile was some college kid. Or probably someone from a lower financial security, but as part of the sport. If a person gets to go and experience something once in their life, whether it be like Las Vegas or getting to travel abroad to someplace like Ireland or Germany, and for many, that's going to be the only time they ever get to do that. Like, I know people who live in East Tennessee that are in their like late 30s, early 40s, and they have never left East Tennessee. How does that hurt you? Why is that such a problem to you? If someone's getting a little bit of enjoyment in their life and people are supporting them and they're happy for them and they have a 300 Wilks, who the fuck cares? Why are you bitching about it? If you're the person who needs that support, but you're too proud to ask for it and you'd rather just tear somebody else down rather than having some constructive criticism on why people have to be in this kind of situation to get to meet, you're not really doing anything to help our sport or our hobby, rather. So I don't know. That's how I feel about it. Maybe you guys feel a little bit different. Love to hear back from you guys and see what you think. I will be back in the judge's chair next weekend in West Virginia. And then it kind of gets kind of slow. So we got March 23rd, Fairmount, West Virginia. That's up at Johnny's Gym. Then I'll also be at the March 30th meet in Charlotte, North Carolina. Have one of our guys lifting at that meet. And then all will be quiet for April. Back at it in May. And, looking to compete probably mid-May and get this stuff for nationals judging knocked out by June. So, all right, guys, feel free to message me if you have any thoughts on this, platformready.com or platform_ready on Instagram. Thanks.